She Loves Herself with Jill Ritchie.
Hi everyone and welcome back to a brand new episode of She Loves Herself, the podcast. And we are in G4 Studios recording today. And I have got the very lovely, beautiful friend of mine and absolute kind of, well, you're a bit of a novice on this podcast now.
You've been I'm a regular.
She's a wee regular. Ellis, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, doll. Thank you for having me. And this is so much fun.
I know.
Usually we're on Zoom. We're Zooming, but the day we're Zooming.
And the thing is, I mean, Zoom's great, right? Because then I can speak to people from all over the world. But when I found this studio, I thought I have to get Ellis back
yes.
on. And Ellis, you were on last season and everybody loved this episode.
Oh, thank you, doll.
The amount, well, I know you got messages about it.
Aye.
I got messages about it. I actually had people messaging me in tears, like, not in a bad way.
Aye.
In a really good way, saying it really struck a chord. It really resonated with them. And I think for me, that's the kind of conversations, and we've said this before, that we need to be having, because
definitely.
We can be all bells and whistles and whatnot, but actually we need to get to the root
yes.
of things and really speak to people
yes.
on a level. So
definitely. I also think as well, so many people resonated with our last convo because last year was such a shit show for so many people. Not think
uh-huh.
everybody was in the shit last year.
Absolutely. And I think when you shared that and I shared it, it really just made people feel seen, heard and understood.
Totally.
I think even coming in, I don't know about you, Ellis, but since that, I went into sort of December thinking, right, I'm ready. And then December felt choppy again.
Oh.
And I was like, oh no, I'm so, what's going on here? Why Aye. Is this happening again? And I did put it down to a number of things for me personally. There was coming up to Christmas. I think it's quite a tricky time for people. Obviously, my mum's not
yeah.
here. This expectation as a mum, a parent,
oh, it's brutal, doll.
Oh, to please and perform and just to get it right. But also nostalgia comes at Christmas. Mm. Like, I don't know about you.
Memories.
We've done a lot of inner child work, both of us, and you're reminded of things as a child, you know, when you didn't yeah. really have the worry and the expectation placed on you as a really small child, and then you look at your kids and it's all the
mm.
feelings and waves of emotion comes in. But when Christmas left us and I went into Boxing Day, I woke up feeling like, oh my God, I'm glad it's over. Although I loved
Same.
It.
Same.
We had a great time. I woke up feeling very different on Boxing Day. It was like a weight had kind of been lifted.
Relief.
Mm-hmm. Mm. How was yours?
I was like, usually I love Crimbo. I've got the Crimbo tunes on come September, but this year I just was not vibing
mm-hmm.
at all. Like, obviously there was loads coming up last year, which there was for loads of peeps. I was very much like in hiding, and I think I probably tried too hard. Not too hard, but
yeah.
You know what it's like with a pure mum guilt? You try and do everything. Like, I had so many things booked. There was Crimbo Jumper Day. Like, there was uh-huh. too much to remember. Me being me, I obviously left my shop until, like, the very last second also. So that's another stress. And I just felt like I just couldn't really get myself in the mood. So to be honest, I was kind of glad when it was all over mm-hmm. because I just felt as if I could breathe again. And I think with the end of, like, New Year,
mm-hmm.
I almost felt like there was just this kind of permission to let myself let go all the shit that came up last year and just allow myself to start afresh again, to, like, mm-hmm. just start again,
mm-hmm.
just to let it all go and just be like, right, starting afresh.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. And it is a feeling that you just feel, isn't it? And I think when you said, like, let it go, start afresh, let's talk about that, actually, because when do we know when it's time to let go versus actually, no, you need to stay in it more? And I think there is that real fine line of, right, enough.
Yes.
I need to get moving. I need to, okay, I might still feel like this.
Yeah.
But when is enough enough?
I remember the last time when we were recording our previous episode, and I don't even know if it was recorded or not, if it was just us two talking, and I was like that. I just want to, like, hide. I don't want to go out my house. Like, I don't want to do, I just want to pure hide. And you said to me, don't hide too long, but, and I was like, oh, I can't just sit in this forever. Like, at some point, I'm going to need to actually push myself a wee bit. And I actually was talking to our friend, Michelle, about this at the weekend. And I was saying, like, how do you get from... There's a fine line between, like, tuning into yourself and looking for the answers, and where does this come from, where does that come from? There is such a fine line between being in that space and also just, like, mentally torturing yourself 24/7. And I felt as if last year, and see if I'm honest, probably the year before that, I felt as if I'd got to that stage of doing the work, whatever you want to call it, that I'd almost pushed myself too far, and I was like forgetting to live my life.
Oh, I know. Yep.
And everything was just, where does that come from? Like, what shit's this bringing up? Like,
I know
everything. I mean, had
you've
to
done all
have.
Yours, you're like, okay, what grandparent was that? I'm going back generations now. Like, yes. Oh, is this a past life? Oh, hold on.
Yes.
Let me go into that.
Yes, literally.
I know. Like, when is enough enough? You stop living.
Yeah, literally. That is what I done. I stopped like finding. The joy in everyday life. I stopped living because I had just pushed myself so far so deep. And it's good to go there, but I think there is just such a blurred line. I think especially when you guide other people as your job, it's almost like you have to be in the depths of the shit all the time to like prove that you can help other people. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And so now I feel like as much as I will always do the work, I'll always help other people, I'll always tune into myself. For me, this year's about finding the balance between not just living in the shit all the time and actually like remembering to just be sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah, do you know what? I'm hearing Daryl in my ear because that's what he used to say to me, and he still does at points. Oh, like, stop looking for stuff. Stop looking for stuff all the time. I'm like, but I think for us, I think there is a part where it's your mission and you know what you're here to do, and there is a real calling, and there's some people that can just bypass that and do certain parts and then just move through it and that's it. I think there are certain people, you, me included, who when you see it, you can't unsee it. And so it's challenging to then let something go.
Totally. Like,
let it go. And it's like, but then am I doing myself an injustice and other people an injustice? If I know better, then I need to do better. And it's actually, can we do it simultaneously? Can we find the joy? And you said something so funny, and I said this to Sarah last week, actually. Like, we need to remember to have fun.
Yeah.
Because where's like the fun? Remember when you were a kid, or even when you were in your teens or in your early 20s, and you would have a laugh and have fun. And I think there's a difference between numbing out with booze and drugs or whatever that is, but bringing in elements of gratitude, because when you go so deep like that, it's hard to find the gratitude, because you know that a gratitude practice is really important, but because you're so deeply in the searching and the going deeper and deeper, you forget what's actually in front of you.
100% though.
And that's all that really matters. And you know that, but sometimes that in itself can come overwhelming, because you're like, God, I'm so responsible for these children. We spoke about that in the last one when you were saying, you know, like not leaving the kids on their own and feeling like you miss them. And because of this, I think sometimes we go too deep.
Yeah.
I think
as a mum, though, not that it's harder, I don't mean that, but I think as a mum, you have this worry, well, I do anyway, like, every single decision I make, I'm like, am I going to fuck them up, or am I not teaching them life skills? Like, I am always stuck between those two questions to myself, and it's like, just find the balance in between both, like... You're never going to not fuck them up anyway. So you might as well just like try your best and know that that's enough. But going back to the letting go thing, I used to always ask myself, like, how do you let go though? How? And people used to ask me in sessions and stuff, and I would be like, I can't give you the answer because I don't know. I don't know how you let it go. And what I've honestly, like, kind of realised the past, like, few weeks, really, is, like, there is no how. You just have to let it happen over time. And I've, like, been doing this work for years, and only really in the past kind of wee while can I honestly say that I have started to really accept some things in my life and not have attachment to them. I mean, it'll probably come right back round again and smack me on the arse like most things do, but I think you just have to continuously, like, practice
releasing.
Yeah, just letting go.
Non-attachment.
Yes.
When I look back to, because I think, like you said, a couple of things there, it'll come back and slap you in the bum again, and it will, because as you expand into something bigger, and as you start to grow consciously and maybe stretch yourself, whether that's in life and business and relationships, it'll come back again, because your capacity and your window there starts to, like, like, I know for even me, I felt like I kind of nailed non-attachment when I was comfortable doing what I was doing before.
Yeah.
It's hard at the start. I learned how, even with my mum, when my mum was so ill, I really worked on non-attachment and switching that around for a beautiful connection with her versus attachment. Because when the attachment's there, it's, I'm responsible for, it's my fault if, it's up to me too, I'm in charge of, blah. And all of these heavy weights that we place on ourselves and expectations, it only goes one way, because the minute someone pulls away, well, if you think of it, if you're attached, the minute they pull away, you're like, or the minute they don't live up to the expectation that you have, or you don't live up to their expectations of who you should be. And that's where flipping the narrative of how do we create a beautiful connection with someone versus attachment. But going back to it, I felt like I nailed that for a long time, and so I was able to confidently teach in it.
Yeah.
But then when I went into, like, last year, I think was challenging for so many people.
Oh, definitely.
And it's interesting that it was so challenging. I think there's an element of coming out of COVID, the recovery period of that for people then working out who they are, and almost PTSD to a degree of people in different ways, whether that's relationships, confidence, money, finances, whatever that is. It's like reevaluating themselves. But I know when I started to create IPA, that took me to another level of expansion, where it was almost like a rebirth again. But, well, it's when, before you have the rebirth, you have the bit of the death, don't you?
Because you're you've got to die first.
You've got to die first. And I remember being like, this is everything I've ever wanted and everything that I know I'm here to do, to the point it would make me get emotional because the mission was so big. But then what happens then is, it's too big for you.
Yeah.
It's too big for you. And also, you know, what does that mean when you really step out like that? Because suddenly it's not just your coaching anymore. Mm-hmm. It's actually a global company that could potentially change the lives of hundreds and thousands of people. Mm-hmm. It's not just me, myself and I. It's a dynamic of working with a new business partner, finding your voice there. And and all of your old inner child stuff comes up again. So guess what? The attachment thing comes again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I'm not doing anything right. I can't get it. And we self-sabotage when we're in that space. And it's like, again, going back to our point, how do we let go? But actually, the principles are the same. It's just the fear just comes in again. Yeah. The imposter syndrome comes in again. But I do believe, Ellis, when for that's coming in for me, it's so that I can, number one, hold a global company. Because you have capacity at a level doing what you're doing, but it's like, if you want everything that you're saying you do, you need to be able to hold that, lady. Like, you need to be able to hold the shit that will come with that, the good stuff, but also the shit that comes with that. So of course it's like how you navigate imposter syndrome again, how you navigate fear and doubt and stress and different levels of it, but do not afraid. And I've spoken about this a bit last week, having to do it afraid, because what's your alternative? You shrink because you feel like you want to. You're like, I just want to run away.
Yeah.
I just want to hide because this feels like so scary. And your wee inner child, your wee bit's like, this isn't safe. But again, of course it doesn't feel safe because your mind has never been there. Like, it's never been in a space like where you maybe want to go. So for anyone listening to this, whatever your goal might be this year, you're going to feel imposter syndrome. You're going to feel scared. You're going to feel shame. All your old shit's going to throw up
Definitely.
In front of your very eyes. And it's in those moments that you go, right, I recognise this. It doesn't mean that I can't do it. It just means that I'm really expanding, I'm really growing, and I need to dig deep here and do it afraid.
Totally, doll. I even had that coming here this morning, mm-hmm. like when I was thinking about, because it is different from just jumping on a Zoom. You forget, don't you? It's just like having a wee convo. But even driving here, when I was like tuning in, I'm like, oh, fuck, this feels horrible. Like, how do I think I'm going here? What am I going to say? Like, all these things mm-hmm. start coming up. When actually, I love doing stuff like this. Like, mm-hmm. I love it. I love having these conversations. I've said to you before, I love having a platform to speak on, because I feel like with self-expression, I really struggle unless yeah. I can speak freely. I'm not good at typing things. I'm not good mm-hmm. at writing things down, like, unless it's for myself. I feel like I struggle.
Particularly in it. Yes. To the audience, you go blank. Yes. Like, I just want to say and speak my voice.
Because uh-huh. I feel like what I try and say doesn't come across enough.
Yeah.
And I need to say it out loud. So when I think about that, I'm like, this is perfect. This is what I want to be doing. You know, expressing yourself, helping people. But then when that opportunity comes up, all the shit comes up and you totally talk yourself out it. Yeah. But when you say safety, I have been tuning into safety so much last year and this year. And it's just when something feels different, your physical body, like your brain, goes into overdrive. It's that survival mode. It's like, am I going to die here? Even being rejected and going, you know, something that's a bit different from maybe what people are used to seeing you doing, that does genuinely feel like you're going to die.
Well, it's not safe.
It's not safe. Your survival instincts kick in. You genuinely think that, you know, think back to like the pure cavemen times. We were all in tribes. Like if you were shunned, you would have died.
Uh-huh.
And so
if you're outside the tribe, you're like, you're going to die, because you need us to survive.
Totally.
So we silence ourselves and we, you know, again, going back to authenticity over attachment, because it doesn't feel safe.
No.
And the thing is, the logical part of the mind goes, right, okay, thinking logically, am I safe? Yes. Am I going to die? No.
No.
It doesn't matter, though. It's a fear response.
It's that feeling, doll.
It's a
trigger.
And
you don't want to feel that feeling, because that feeling, that physical discomfort, that feeling in your tummy when you're like, it's the most horrible thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think it's getting comfortable and being able to sit in that.
The discomfort.
Being able to hear the thoughts that are coming in, but also not listening to them and knowing that actually they're not your truth.
No.
And that they will go eventually. Like, you just have to kind of sit with them for a wee bit.
How do they go? Like, so thinking about, like, when the people listen to this, they're like, yeah, but how does it go? Like, for me, it goes when we do it afraid.
Yeah.
Like, your capacity starts to get, to hold that discomfort gets bigger.
Yes.
And you're able to actually go, right, I know I'm going to feel a bit sick here, or I know that I'm going to feel scared, and I know that my mind's going to tell me everyone's going to, like, look, think you're a dick, or mm-hmm. everyone's going to say, who are you, or whatever. And knowing that, right, I know that. But the mind, going back to the mind, the mind has never, like, you've never done it before, so it will think it's unsafe.
Of course.
It will tell you it's safe, because it's almost like that lookout on the ship, looking for danger. Mm. Oh, what's that? Oh, no, you can't do that, because we don't know what might happen if you go over there.
Exactly.
And everyone has this fear of failure.
Mm.
But we're failing ourselves, really, when we're not truly living. I think we need to get rid of that narrative, that which was what we always see on social media, people looking like their life's perfect and they're not scared, and they're just like, oh, I just, you know, I just like manifested this, like, yo.
Oh, I know.
Or I just manifested this 7 figures in a month. Wow. Really?
I know.
Really?
I know.
Because to me, that's absolute BS. And I've been quite vocal about this over the years, and I know that you are, feel quite similar to that, because what people aren't sharing is this. And then so when people are watching, they're like, why do I feel like doctored doing this? I feel scared. And they're comparing themselves to people in business. People need to share more about what goes on behind the scenes, not to put people off, but to normalise it and
100%.
Say, you know, you will fail, you will get it wrong, you will fall down, you know, you might lose money, you know, you will feel this, but actually when you keep going and you're doing it afraid, you will get there, you know, and holding on to that vision.
Definitely, doll. I will never be that person, and I know you're the same as me, I will never be that person that pretends that everything is amazing to make other people feel like shit. Like, I will just never do that. I will always share the real life stuff that goes on, because I think it's so important that, especially when you hold people, you know, for a living, for a job, especially when you're holding people and you're dealing with people's emotions and feelings and traumas and all the life shit, basically, how it does really annoy me when I see people putting out in social media that their life's perfect and they've manifested this and that. And not that I don't believe manifesting exists, of course I do, but I don't believe that you can just sit with your eyes closed and stuff's going to fall at your feet. Like, that's not how it works.
No.
And so I just think it's so important for peeps in this industry to really just, like, we're all just normal people.
Yeah.
We're literally all just normal peeps. It's just some of us have maybe found this path a wee bit sooner than others, but that's why we're here. We're here to help other people and guide them so that they can then go on their own journey and they can guide other people as well. Not even necessarily in a coaching capacity, but just to have the awareness to make a bit of a difference. And so when people say, like, how, just do it. As hard as it can be, not knowing how to get started, like, see if you look, you will find the tools. There's so many free resources out there. There's so many coaches, you know, therapists, whatever it is that feels right for you. Please just trust that that is what you need to do the now and go for it. And the more that you start to consciously, you know, just do a wee bit every single day, that's the how. There is no, like, unfortunately, there is no, in my opinion, there's no quick fix. Like, you just have to make a conscious effort to really find time for yourself to self-reflect. I would call it, other people might resonate with other words, but just to look inward every day.
I love that. And a big part of that is journaling. And I know you've got your journals, which are amazing.
Love my journaling, doll.
Right. So what does journaling do for you? Because that's something everybody can do, right?
Exactly. This is why I'm so passionate about it. Like, who's not got an old notepad lying about their house and a pen somewhere? Like, you can literally do it right this second. You don't need to have all the dosh. Like, you don't need to. You can do it right now. For me, journaling is, like, the biggest release, the biggest safe space where I can just, like, start to trust myself again.
I love it.
Because for, you know, however many years from childhood, you abandon yourself over and over and over and over and over again so that you feel loved and you feel connected, and then you start to create these thoughts and beliefs about yourself that aren't even true, but over time you start to believe them, and then for your entire life these thoughts are just shaping every decision, every pattern, every thought about yourself. Like, and when you realise this, you've never really been yourself. When people say to me, I don't know who I am, I'm like, well, no wonder, because you've never been allowed to be yourself, so no wonder you don't know who you are. So for me,
journaling feels like that, though.
Literally, I think every single client I've ever had in my life has said to me at one point, I don't know who I am, and I'm like, well, do you know what, that's actually a good thing, because that's a great place to start. If you don't know who you are, let's start from scratch then. And for me, the journaling, it's a free tool. Nothing fancy. You don't need to know how to do it. People say to me all the time as well, I don't know how to start. Well, start by getting a bit of paper and a pen and start writing what you're thinking, what you're feeling. You know, start writing down the thoughts that are in your head. Just write anything. And soon it'll all start to come together and you won't be doubting yourself anymore. For me, that is the best way that I have found to build up self-trust within myself again and really connect into my essence, my authenticity, and just having that space that I go to every morning to go, nobody's reading this, nobody's going to know what's in here, this is just for me.
And thank God nobody reads it.
I'd be locked up, dog, for reals.
I was, you know, I had this
I'd be locked up.
I had this thought, right, I have it regularly and I really need to do something about it. Because I have got journals for years so now, right? And I thought, imagine if something happened to me and I died. Like, I would not want, like,
no.
But honestly,
I'd be arrested, honestly, well, if somebody read mine.
I think, because people wait.
I think
maybe
we should burn them before this poddy goes out in case anybody looks for
people
them.
Would read them. Like, I'm talking, like, if I always think, imagine my sister just said, oh, I'll just sit one night with a glass of wine and read my sister's journals, you know, she's passed away or whatever. And I think, oh, nah. Even Daryl. Because do you know what? We hold a lot of shame.
Oh, aye.
Right, and a lot of thoughts that can feel quite dark. And by the way, I'm a very average, normal, whatever normal aye. Is person. So I know if I have those thoughts, ugh, most people
everybody
do.
Does,
and like, I figured out stuff in my relationships, things like inner child stuff. That's all of that has come through journaling.
Yeah.
So yes, there's a lot that's come through working with a brilliant coach, but the journaling piece, I started before I did my training as a coach, and I took that journal everywhere with me. And what is magic about this, and I'd say this to anyone with journaling, you get to know who the hell you are when you start journaling. Because
definitely.
The first part when you said, I don't know what to write, that's what I used to start with. I used to start, right, I'm supposed to journal, but I don't know what to write.
Yep.
So today, I got the kids up, and three things I'm grateful for is this. It was that basic, but I was so committed to doing it because I thought, I'm going to keep going, and now it's like pages, I get downloads,
oh,
I get things
though.
That come through, and it's like God speaking to me, and I'm like, oh my God,
same.
God's here. And and then sometimes I look back and I'm like, that did not come from me. Mm-hmm. And I really mean that. Like, I laugh as I say it, but it was channeled, like IPA, all of these things come through journaling. I look back at entries and I'm like, that is honestly like the highest self coming through and coming to me. And it was almost like, and I know when it's changing because I start to talk to myself like Jill.
Yes.
It's not I, it's Jill. It's like someone speaking to me. And
love
it's
that.
So powerful. It's such a therapeutic, healing space where you get most of your ideas.
Oh my God.
You heal through it. As
like,
well.
Honestly, I could literally sit here for this full time and talk about journaling and how easy it is and just how much you get from it. And this is accessible, like, to everyone. And see what you're saying about, like, things just coming through and when you first started, maybe it not being as in-depth as what it is now. See, some mornings, if I'm sitting there and I'm like, right, what's coming up? I just think, imagine somebody's just said to you, hi doll, how are you? And I write, hi doll, I'm all right. And then I say to everybody, imagine your best pals just said to you, how are you? What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Just start writing.
Yeah, or someone that would never repeat anything.
Yeah, your safe person.
Not that I'm saying that your friends wouldn't, but
no.
There's a lot of things that, again, people hold on to, like shame or something from their past that... or something that they're even thinking about. And this is the thing, as human beings, we're not great at allowing ourselves the space to feel the full spectrum of emotions, including shame, including anger. And we attach labels to these things like, oh, that's bad, that's good, I shouldn't feel that way. And actually, when we suppress any emotion, any thoughts, anything that's happened from our past, we know, Ellis, it just gets stuck in our physical body.
Definitely.
And it starts to manifest in illness. It starts to manifest in intrusive thoughts. And it holds us back. And this is the thing, because we live in a society where we're so judged.
Yeah.
We're so judged, but we're looking for someone outside of us not to judge us, but we need to sit with it ourselves and be able to hold all of that emotion, because it is like we unburden when we're able to do it. And I'm not saying everyone would start journaling and get here straight away. It's definitely a practice.
Yeah.
But I know when I'm in a deep journaling process, it's like I can unburden the heaviness and get to almost laughing at myself.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, this is just made up, Jill.
Aye.
This is just made up. This isn't real. Like, it's just fear. And what does fear need? Fear needs to feel safe. So how can you bring in safety right now for yourself? Not numb out, not go out there looking for it, not look for validation from someone else. How can you self-validate? How can you hold yourself in safety? But we're not taught that.
No.
And so it's almost like we're having to reparent.
Oh, God, yeah.
We're having to reparent ourselves.
Yeah.
And this is not a slight on any parents. We're the parents.
Of course.
So we say this.
Aye.
We do our best, but we learn, right? We learn a lot, and no one's perfect. Our parents, you know, they've been through experiences, and their parents went through different lifetimes and experiences, and we're all trying our best, and sometimes we get it right and sometimes we don't. But how can we start to bring in that, whatever it is that we're feeling that we need? What is that? Like, you know, when we go, right, if I get, we get to the root cause, but actually underneath the root cause, and it's something we really teach in IP, is what's the root need?
Yeah.
Because the root cause, okay, well, okay, we understand and we bring awareness to it. Okay, well, the root cause was this thing that happened to me as a kid, or this thing that happened to me at school, or this thing that happened in a relationship. That was the root cause. Okay, but actually, what was the root need?
Yeah.
What did you need in that moment?
Love that.
Mm-hmm. And when we can get that and we can bring that in for ourselves, suddenly we're not attached to someone else fixing it. Mm-mm. It's not someone else's job to fix it for us. And that's where, that's why journaling, I know we're kind of on journaling right now, but because I think there is this whole overwhelm of, right, I need to do this and I need to do that and I need to do this. But start with journaling. Questions. What I love about your journal, because you created that just last year.
Yeah.
And you've got a second one now.
Yeah.
The questions in the journal prompts, because if you're an avid journaler, sometimes you don't need prompts.
Exactly.
But I think there's times where, again, you hit a growth period where your mind goes blank and you just, you're like, oh my God, I feel like I've gone back 5 years. How am I here again? I thought I dealt with that thing. Mm-hmm. And this is where the journal prompts are great.
Yes, that's why I created it, honestly. Mm-hmm. Last year when I was like, I honestly was hardly doing any of my practices, like nothing. I was just in a major Debbie Downer, didn't really know what was happening, where I was going, what I was supposed to be doing. Now, on reflection, I'm like, that's exactly what you were supposed to be doing. But if I wasn't in that space, I wouldn't have created the journal. So the journal that I created is supposed to be used as like an intuitive tool. So again, it's easy. Just do it. Don't overthink it. And the concept of it is, it's got 101 prompts in it, and you just open it at a random page. Do it in order if you want, but I prefer to just open it at a random page. Intuitively, trust that whatever page you open that at today is the prompt that you're supposed to use today. Now, I've seen me have prompts that are completely random, and what I've started journaling on is got F all to do with what the prompt actually is. Mm-hmm. But it's got me there.
It's got you there.
And that is how I wanted to make it so easy for people, because this isn't supposed to be hard. Like, we're not saying because we're coaches, like, we can do all this stuff and use canny. Like, the complete opposite. Everyone can do this. Mm-hmm. Open it a page and start writing and trust that whatever you've wrote is what's supposed to come up for you the day.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. You said something there about getting to know yourself, like when your clients will say, I don't know who I am. And that is a great way to get to know who you are. But let's talk about the fact that people don't do it. Like, why we know, like, I know I should meditate. Like, I know we do it, right? But like, there'll be people that will listen and be like, I know one. Everyone tells me to meditate. Everyone says I should journal. I want to know who I am. But actually, do you?
Wait, this is that.
Do you? Because I think there's real subconscious mind is at play here a lot of the time, where we go, oh, I can't do that, or I was really busy.
Oh, God, you pure block yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you massively block yourself because you probably subconsciously don't want to uncover all that shit that's exactly. behind the block.
Exactly. Because it's painful,
aye,
right?
So it's horrible. Like,
I'll just numb out by going over here and following the shiny thing over here mm-hmm. and hoping that that actually makes me feel better. And it does for a while. It works. But what happens is it's almost like you need a bigger hit.
Yeah.
Need a bigger hit. And I've spoke about this quite openly as well with people. And you look at like the recent documentaries with like Robbie Williams and the Matthew Perry,
yep.
the guy, you know, from Friends. And I listened to his audiobook and I just recently watched Robbie's documentary. And he was saying like there was something like 80,000 people at Nebworth like cheering him on. And there was like five people on some sort of thing on the newspaper that were just criticising his latest song. He said all he focused on was those five people, and he said it was like, he said, I just wanted to die. I hated yeah. life. I wasn't, and that's the thing. It's like you think for other people that would be like, oh my God, but look at what you had. And
yeah.
But it's that whole need to, if I just get this, then I'll be happy. Aye. If I just get love from here, then I'll be happy. But the biggest, and I know for some people, but it is the truth and you need to listen, guys. Self-love is the most important love you can have, because it doesn't matter what anyone gives you. You will never feel how you think you should if you are disconnected from yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to, I'm not saying you need to be able to say, oh, I'm so proud of that thing that I did or the way I acted in a situation.
Of course, aye.
But you need to be able to find a way to forgive yourself and understand, like, when we know better, we do better, right?
Yes.
When we understand why we acted a certain way, most of the time, honestly, I'm trying to think of any time it's not. Most of the time when someone even acts in a shitty way, it's from a place of fear.
Of course it is. Or pain, uh-huh. or hurt, or the beliefs that they have about themselves that have been created over, you know, times when things have been done to them or things have happened uh-huh. to them or they've not received love or connection. Mm-hmm. Like, of course. Do you know, it's so funny. I was actually thinking about this morning. Because I was talking about boundaries and I was like, boundaries is something that I'm not massively great at. And I think, well, I don't think, I know that it's because I just see people's pain.
Mm-hmm.
I see the hurt in everyone. If somebody acts in a shit yeah. way, I'm like, oh, well, there's a reason people act the way they act. And that's not making excuses for shit behaviour, because everybody has to take responsibility, right, at some point. But for me, it's not always a good thing that I can see that. It makes me good at my job, right, enough. But
yeah.
in everyday life, it sometimes doesn't really serve me very well, right? But I think if we can all start to be a bit more compassionate to ourselves, which is one of the main pillars of like the repairing and process, mm-hmm. as you were talking about earlier, when you do the inner child work and you really have to start going back there. Compassion all the way. Like big style compassion.
Mm.
Compassion to yourself, first and foremost. Like even when you're talking about Robbie there, if he's not got that compassion, that love within him already, no matter what anybody else says, it's never going to happen. Like, it has to come from within you.
Mm-hmm.
So compassion for self first of all, and then compassion for other people as well. Understanding of yourself will then come, and then you can start to understand other people as well. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're just not living such a reactive life anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's really not that hard, as in to put the steps in. It can feel hard when you're yeah. in the midst of it and stuff's coming up for you, but to actually start to implement self-reflection, understanding, self-compassion, it's really not that difficult to do.
You're right, it's not that difficult. It can feel it, like you said, it can
in
feel
the midst,
it
it's
when
horrid.
You're in it. But actually, the whole thing here around attachment, so again, going back to him and other people, it's the whole, when I get this, then I'll be, the attachment to being more, achieving more.
Yeah.
Then I'll be worthy. And it's even this, you know, a lot of people have fear of success, and I see a lot of people holding themselves
yeah.
back with fear of success, because actually, and they're like, I know I want that thing. I know I'm capable of it, but I just can't seem to do it. And their blueprint for success. It's like, work out what your blueprint is for success, because number one, is anyone around you done it before? And some people will go, well, that's a motivator to do it. But if you haven't had evidence of anyone doing it before around you, right, what was the story? Is it that rich people are arseholes? Is it that, you know, whatever that story might have been, oh, that's not, no, that's not for us. You know, we can't do that, you know, or it's got to be hard. And and Sarah and I were actually talking about this last week as well. We're saying sometimes, like we were saying, in creating a business, it isn't easy. You know, it's not. And you've got to work, you've got to put the time in, you've got to put the effort in, especially when you're doing something that has an impact. You've got to do, you've got to do the work. But sometimes, are we in our story of, well, it needs to be hard, or I'm not worthy of achieving. I'm not worthy of receiving success unless I've been in the trenches. Unless there's blood, sweat and tears and I'm greeting. You know, it's like, literally, there is pockets of that. And it's funny because I've seen it with clients, and I notice it, having to catch myself sometimes saying, is this a story? Or is this truth? You know, am I making this more complicated than it needs to be? In the mind, you know, someone said, I was out at the weekend and someone said, your mind is your best, can be your best friend or your worst enemy. And I remember my mum used to say that sometimes, and I thought, but I get what she means by that, because it's your friend or foe, isn't it? It's like, what is the mind telling us? Because it starts with the thought. It starts with the thought, right?
And I think, though, it's important that you see beyond the mind and know that you're much more than your thoughts, much more than what your mind is telling you. Your mind is ultimately a machine that's keeping you safe. You know, that's its job. It's to keep you safe. It's to look after you. It's to stop you from dying, pretty much.
But it also limits you.
100%. Because, you know, doing things that aren't normal for you or aren't everyday for you doesn't feel safe. So, of course, your mind's going to tell you the most random, ridiculous shit to stop you from doing it. But if you can see beyond that and reconnect with your feelings, your emotions, like what's, even what's beyond them.
It goes way deeper. It goes way deeper because actually, like, if we're going to go really deep, it's all made up.
It's
all made up.
It's like, all made up. None of it's truth.
It's all made up.
None of it's truth,
and
though.
It's like, when you realise that, you're like, oh my God, we're missing. Because when we get in our heads so much, we are missing the joy of living. We make it harder than it needs to be. But this is where the practices of connection to self, like your journaling, being out in nature, like being around the joy, is so important to flip your energy, because we are all energy, right? All of this is energy. This room that we're in right now, everything. And if we are in low vibration, you almost need to go, right, I'm feeling this feeling coming in here. Okay, I'm going to be with it. But there comes a point where it that feeling, that familiar feeling, can become a habit. And it's like, right, we've already dealt with that. And it's noticing, we've been here. We know that this is in our child. Okay, I'm not going to stay in this. I'm going to move and push past it. And I think that's, when is enough enough?
Exactly, though. And it's having done the work enough to be able to catch yourself, which the only way to get to that place is to go through it. You cannot, like, skip past that part, in my opinion anyway. I know that there are things out there that people maybe use in ways to try and get to the finish line before they've even started, like plant medicine and things that we've spoke about. But I don't believe that you can just cut out your the middle part. Like, me and Michelle were talking about this at the weekend, and I was like, do you know what, doll? I honestly have came to realise, right, that your whole entire life is literally like the birth of something, living it, and then letting it go. And I think that just, like, keeps going over and over and over and over again.
Throughout your whole life.
Throughout your whole life,
Yeah.
Until finally you get to the end and you're like, what was that all about?
I know, and you do hear that, you know, talking about end of life with people when they're like, I wish I didn't worry so much.
Yeah.
I wish I lived the life that I knew I could have done, but I didn't because I was scared, or I wish that. And I think if you have a diagnosis of something that could you know, be life threatening. I think that is the moment where you're like, what the hell was I so caught up in? But I do think we live in a world where there's an expectation that, like I said, that it should be hard or you're no worth receiving.
Oh, definitely, doll. Definitely.
It's all lies, though.
It is. It's all lies. Like, and do you know something that I always ask myself, right, is you're on your deathbed, what is the secret to a happy life? For me, it would be, like, don't sweat the small stuff, as in, is my house tidy, all that shit that annoys me every day. I'm like, that would not exist. You know, like, live basic, I think, for me anyway. Don't have too much stuff. Like, the more stuff and the more things, the more crazy busy your mind. Head goes.
Well, like, it's that as within, so without, right?
Yeah. Like, be outside and just remember to live every single day. Like, that is all you need to do. But your head just sends you to a place of thinking that, you know, you need to be keeping up with peeps, you need to be buying all this stuff, you need to be making all the dosh, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that. And it's just exhausting to even imagine having to live your entire life like that.
Expectations. And I think then, really, when we're what we're talking about here is what brings you joy. And I guess there's a lot of people in things like jobs and situations, relationships perhaps, that don't bring them joy. But again, going back to, it's that attachment and that expectation that you think you need to stay there. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't. And it's almost like, what's going to happen if you leave? What's really going to happen? And that's a great thing to journal on, right? Because the mind will go into, you're going to die and everyone's going to judge you and everyone's going to talk about you, or you can't leave that job because you'll end up like with no money and then your kids will have no clothes and no food.
Yeah.
You go to the worst case scenario, so you do nothing. And this is why so many people, when we come to end of life, will say, I wish I had the courage to do what I knew I was capable of doing, but I was scared to. And that's my wish for people, like, that actually you don't need to do it all at once. But if you feel a calling, if you feel like maybe the relationship you're in right now, but remember and work on it, right? Because if you don't, I'm not saying like walk out of your relationship tomorrow, because here's the thing, a lot of people jump about from relationship to relationship. They just take their troubles with them. They just take, because actually what's really going on, if you're lacking boundaries in your relationship, you're going to lack boundaries in the next relationship.
Therefore,
you know, if you are lacking trust in a relationship, you're going to lack trust in the next relationship. You might have the honeymoon period, but that familiar thing that comes, and I used to have this in relationships, I've shared it on the pod before, I'd get that sort of 3-year, oh nah, I'm done with this now. Every time I'd be like, oh god, I'm getting the ick, and oh nah, this is it for me again. And they would show up that way. They would show up like quite trying to be a bit controlling. I'd be like, right, now that's it, I'm out. And I blame them. My narrative was, they're trying to control, or they're trying to put me down, and I'm not having that. We'll see you later. Now, that actually fact, that did happen. That did happen. But I created a lot of that because my guard was up.
Of course you did.
I never really felt safe letting somebody really in. So they would act in a certain way. And it was brilliant because it was... It showed me, when I started to learn about myself, that actually those people were never right for me, and they never would have been, but the issue was me. And until I actually worked on creating safety in a relationship where I allowed someone in to see all of me and be very, very vulnerable, I was going to have that same problem showing up for me all the time. So get to know yourself, but don't think that it is not possible for you to exit a situation or a job or whatever that is. If you feel like there's more for you, that's because there is.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, there is.
Aye.
You're living a, like, honestly, like a smidgen of your, what you, your capability, you're probably living a smidgen of it. And I think that's what eats people up, Ellis. And that's why I think people numb out and they get addicted to certain things, because they're like, I need to find a hit from something. So, because I'm not getting it. But actually, believe me when I say, when you start to get to know yourself, you can find that hit within yourself, because you just start to expand more and be more of who you are authentically. And that is, and when you get to that point, how you actually receive things is different. How you feel about
Oh, totally. People
like the gratitude that you actually have, because you're so much more open to fully receiving all of life. Definitely. Rather than just a wee part of it, you know?
Definitely, doll. I always say to people, like, question what has this shown me about myself? Because no matter what is going on in your life, like, or what has went on in your life, how people have maybe treated you or things that have went on, it'll always be there to show you something about yourself. Mm-hmm. And see when you can start to see things that have happened and maybe not the best stuff. Like, I get that, lots of shit happens. But if you can begin to just learn what it's actually showing you about yourself, what you're learning from it, almost make meaning out of it. But I watch saying that because I'm like, don't make meaning out of it as in to dismiss what's happened. I don't mean that. But if you can come up with a reason as to why something happened, even just, well, it taught me this about myself, or it taught me to be this way, then that's why it's happened, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think a lot of people have adversity, have challenging things that happen to them in their life, and it is almost knowing that it's not over. Like, you can actually start, and you can start any time. Like, I say to people, you know, in their 50s even, when they'll say to me, oh, is it too late? I'm like, it is never too late. Never. Like, ever, 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 to start to trust yourself, to start to make different decisions, to live a fuller life. It's never too late. Mm-mm. If you feel like there's a call, if you feel like there's a pull to connect more or to have something in your life, whatever that is, then put one foot in front of the other. Just take steps. Don't, you said it as well, like, don't do too much at once. Do one thing.
Yeah.
And allow that to be embedded, and then add something else, and then add some, that compound effect, right? Yes. So if you're thinking even, like, I'd like to drink more water, then you go, I'm going to drink 3 litres of water every day, and then I'm going to do 5 HIIT classes at the gym this week. I'm going to do 10,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, say, I'm going to drink water every day, 3 litres of water every day, or whatever that is. That's maybe too much, whatever. Drink the water. Then the next again week, say, right, I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do my steps 4 times this week.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you think, if you did that every day for a year, where you would be in 12 months from right now.
Yeah.
And it's much more sustainable. It's easier to sort of build on.
100%. I always say, like, make a promise to yourself every day that you know that you can keep. Because the minute you start making, like, that example you use, the minute you start making wild promises to yourself, your subconscious knows for a fucking fact that you ain't doing that. You're literally setting yourself up to fail.
And then you get the reminder, I'm rubbish, I can't stick to anything.
But that's why, that's why people do this shit. That's why people set their standards so high on themselves every day, because they know that it's not manageable. And then
subconscious,
the shame comes in, the guilt comes in.
The sabotaging.
Aye, because
subconscious is sabotaging.
Because that's their norm. Their norm is to feel shameful, to feel guilty, to not feel good enough, to think, oh, why can everybody else do this and I can't? So don't do it.
It's so funny with the subconscious. I know, like, just quickly touch on this with the subconscious. It is mad how we can self-sabotage with the subconscious. I have seen people that are going to speak at events, and I've been there myself, and the nerves are big, and I'm like, it's a big audience. Oh no, there's people there, maybe a few even like famous people, and I'm like, oh, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. And I feel sick, and I'm at the toilet and all that. I'm like, oh. And I will do it. I'll still do it because I know I have to do this. But I remember at things before, at the start, my voice would go. Like, literally couldn't speak. So I would just be coming up and I'm like, I need to deliver a talk for 30 minutes. I've lost my voice. And I had literally lost my voice. But I remember pushing past it, and the voice came back right after it. It was. I got back in the car, I started speaking. I'm like, my voice has came back to normal. Or, like, I've been going out the door in the past and I've got, like, a white shirt on, and I'm like, I'm just going to make spaghetti bolognese.
Aye, of course.
In my white shirt before I need to go to this meeting.
Yes.
So that I can just, oh no, I can't. And now I've missed the train. I can't, and I see people doing it now.
Yes.
I see people doing it that have to speak at things, or they're going to go to something, or something's happened, I can't do it. And it will happen because the subconscious mind will sabotage.
Of course it will.
Sabotage. But you've still got to say, even if you arrive late, even if you need to wear something that you didn't intend to, you have to still do it.
Yeah.
You've got to keep pushing, because all you're doing is affirming, reaffirming that story of, I can't do it, it's not for me, this thing isn't for me, I knew that would happen, this always happens to me. It yep. does, until you run with it.
Yeah.
So come up with the tomato sauce all over your shirt. Mm-hmm. Do you know, go on that thing late, but you have to still do it, because yeah. you're just feeding that narrative.
Yeah, and that also pushes you even further away from that self-trust. Because
you're not keeping your word to yourself.
You're not keeping your word to yourself. And that is the most important thing if you really want to begin to feel like you do actually know yourself, or you at least feel some sort of connection with yourself. Mm-hmm. The self-trust is massive. So promises to yourself every day.
Even if it's small.
The smallest thing.
Yeah.
Just do it. But also, were you quickly talking about this, like the subconscious? I've been watching loads of, do you know Marissa Peer?
Yes.
Oh. Fucking love that woman. Love her. So I've been watching loads of her stuff recently, mm-hmm. right? And see, what I love about her, she's so matter of fact. So there's no doubt in her mind. She was talking about when she had cancer and she had to get the, what's it called? The hysterectomy, when she had to get all her, like, women, all that taken out. And she said, oh, the doctor said to me, you know, the cancer cells might spill out into your other body parts. And she just went, I just didn't accept that. I just told my mind that the cancer was just there and that was it. And she'll say things like, why do we say stuff like, oh, something's killing me, or mm-hmm. and so I've been so conscious with my words.
Our words, uh-huh.
Because it's wild. See the amount of times since I've been trying to tune into this consciously, the amount of times, like last week when I didn't feel well, I was saying things like, oh, my throat's killing me, I feel like death, and I'm like, fuck, why am I saying this? Like, the subby is recording me saying this.
It
shit.
Does. It's locking it in, and it's
wild.
Like, she's kill, death.
Yes.
Okay. And then people are like, I remember working with someone and they had cancer, and she said, I brought this on myself. And she gave me the example of it, and I thought, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying everybody does, but she was able to tell me what was going on in her life. She said, I'm a brilliant manifester and I needed something at that point, and this happened and that happened. And do you know, and actually she's not the only one that I've heard.
Totally do.
That happened, and they'll say, I knew I was going to get that.
Aye.
I knew that was going to happen to me, because, and again, not everyone, but a lot of the time, that is how powerful our words are, our mind. You know, I caught myself saying it a couple of weeks ago, oh, I feel like I'm just like, this is quite hard.
Mm.
I'm like, no, I get to do this.
Yes.
I get to do this. This was a dream for me 6 years ago.
Yes.
When I was working 7 hours a week in corporate and I felt like shit, my hair was falling out and I was crying all the time in my car. I used to have to go into a meeting room and I would shut the door and I'd be like, oh God, I just need to, like...
It's just pure stress.
Stress. I would sit in the car. Oh, I was just always like having to try and please my boss all the time on the laptop. Oh, if I just work a bit more, and then she'll like me. And, and she actually fucking probably hated me. But the funny thing is, she follows me all the time on my stuff now. She's actually still staying in touch with her and is great. But it was her stuff. I never knew anything about trauma then or whatever. And I think people project their stuff onto you, but that was hard. This is no hard.
No.
Sitting in a studio, getting to be with you, talking about, like, I didn't even know you 6 years ago.
I know.
Right? And this is the power of when you make a decision, and I said this on a live on Instagram last week, when you make that decision, right, and say, I'm actually going to step out and change, because had I not done that 6 years ago, we wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Nah.
I wouldn't know you.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't know Sarah. IPA wouldn't exist. My podcast wouldn't exist. I wouldn't have worked with the people I've worked with. None of that would exist had I not done it afraid. I was so scared, Ellis, back then.
Of course,
I had a big mortgage, kids. And so for anyone listening to this, just know, like, it doesn't come easy. Like, it's not like someone went and knocked on my door and said, here you go, here's this, here's that, here's the next thing. What I knew without a doubt is that I couldn't keep doing what I was doing, because to me, I was missing out on so much because I was so just getting up, going and wishing my life away.
Yeah.
Wishing my life away. Oh, can't wait till it's home time. Can't wait till it's the weekend.
But you do create that reality, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Like with your thoughts, you really do create. And it's only, I've always heard this stuff. You know, I believe in the manifest. I believe in it all, right? But only really since I started really becoming conscious of my words and how my words are creating thoughts. Only really when I've started tuning into that, I've been going, oh my God, I am creating this.
Well, your words create spells.
Yeah, literally.
They do. It's like, well, it's the word spelling, right? Yeah. So we are creating spells.
And I used to be one of these peeps, pure thinking I'm like spiritual gal, that was like, oh no, it's just like words don't matter and it's just words and I don't really connect with words. And there would be loads of words, like I've said this to you before, like you use the word authenticity, that doesn't vibe with me, I prefer essence, right? But ultimately it's the same thing, it's just a word. But now that I'm really consciously tuning into the words that I'm choosing to use, because it is a choice, everything's a choice, the words that I'm choosing to use are creating the thoughts that I'm having about things.
Of course.
So even, and I'm not saying, I'm not being that gal that's like, oh, you need to be positive all the time. I hate that shit. That's not what I'm about. But if you can put a more favourable spin on the words that you choose every day, that will make a difference.
Well, it is choosing. Like you said, it is a choice. When people will say, I hate this, this is shit, well, you're choosing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's blunt. That is blunt,
true, though.
But it is, we are choosing it. Like, well, you say you want different, but you're not doing anything. Like, and this is the thing, you have to take full responsibility. I'm not saying that people don't play a part in shit that happens in our lives.
Yeah.
But when are you going to say, right, if I want change, I need to be the change that I want to see in the world? Because no one's going to do it for you.
Nah.
And no amount of numbing out or expecting someone else to, when I have, then I will have, and then I'll feel, it doesn't work. The best thing is to tune into yourself, and it is those simple tools like journaling, like meditation, like getting out in nature, setting intentions, keeping your word to yourself, building on it, creating that compound effect, because very quickly everything changes, and it can change like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how quick it can happen, but you need to be committed.
Yeah.
Like you are choosing it. Like, when I'm moaned about something, I'm like, hold on, I'm choosing this.
Yes.
But that can get in your head as well, because you're like, oh, it's all me, I'm creating all my stuff.
Yeah, aye. But it is, again, there's a fine line.
And it is going back to that, right, it is a choice, but what are you going to do about it? I have this saying, so what, now what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so what, now what? Like, now what are you going to do? And that's not being harsh, and it's not dismissing your feelings. You can be with it. It's not a this or that. It's this and that.
Yeah.
You can still feel your feelings. You can still work through stuff and you can still move forward at the same time. You can still create boundaries with that person or that relationship. You can still exit that job. You can still do it and you can do it afraid.
Yes.
It doesn't need, you can't wait until all your ducks are in a row and you're not going to feel scared anymore, because that ain't going to happen.
No, it'll never happen. I also think as well that when these thoughts and these things are coming up, it's a great way to dig into your beliefs about yourself, because that is when your true beliefs about yourself are really going to show up for you. And it's about catching them, even write them down. So, you know, if there is something that you're stuck in and you're like, not being a victim or not playing victim, but you're not consciously choosing to make an effort to get out of that, ask yourself, like, what beliefs about myself is this bringing up? And any money, it will be all the shit of the day that's coming up for you. And that is what's keeping you stuck there, because you're not choosing to create new beliefs about yourself.
Because it's easier sometimes to say in the shit belief, though, Ellis, because people, even though it's shit, it's familiar.
Aye, it's the norm.
It's familiar, and I know what I'm doing when I feel like shit. And it's also, well, who am I without that story? Because I've kind of lived on that story.
Yes.
You know? I've lived off
your
that.
Identity.
Uh-huh. I've created my identity around that. So who am I without that? And that feels scary, but it's epic. We're not supposed to stay the same. We are nature, right? We are nature. We're evolving. We're growing. It's like, if you think of like nature, you know, the roots, the fruit, then it dies, then it comes again. And this is us. We go through seasons, but we're so obsessed with being in full bloom all the bloody time.
Oh no, I can't be dealing with that.
But that's the thing though, Ellis, where we think, I've got to be feeling good all the time, I've got to be making money all the time, I've got to... And this is the narrative we need to get out of, actually rest when we need to rest. You know, tend to the roots, which are the parts of ourself, like tend to those parts so that when we start to bloom again, when we start to come out, we're coming out, right? Yeah. But we're actually feeling like I'm safe to come out here and be me because I'm not attaching myself
to
opinions and all of that stuff. And that only comes from having that willingness to go deeper with yourself.
Aye.
But you can live a happy, joyful, abundant life where you're manifesting amazing things. And I believe when it really lands and you feel like how you're supposed to feel is when you're connected to yourself more.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Great conversation again,
that was
Ellis.
Fun.
It was fun. We
that
just
was such a good
away.
Combo. Wasn't
I know,
it?
I know. Thank you for coming along.
No,
again,
thank you
Ellis.
For having me. I loved that.
So, Ellis, how can people get your journals?
So, if you follow me on Insta, go on to my Instagram, the.soulcircle. There's just a link in my bio, or you can search them up on Amazon. 101 self-reflection prompts or thoughts and feels journal.
Yeah, is it not like let that shit go or something?
Yeah, it says that on the front of it.
Love that.
It's just me.
Let that
just
shit go.
Just got to let that shit go, doll,
love
don't
it.
You?
That's what we're talking about, let that shit go.
You've
let it go, stop holding on.
Yes.
Right, amazing. We'll drop the links as well. And if someone wants to reach out and maybe work with you...
So again, just on Instagram, visit the link in my bio. You can email me. I've got an inquiry form on there, or you can just send me a wee message.
Amazing. Thanks, Ellis. As
Thank
always,
you so
a pleasure.
Much. Thank you.